It is so good to be with y'all this weekend. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is John Muller, and I get the privilege and joy of serving here as the campus pastor at our Capitol Hills campus. Just a little bit about me. My wife and I have been married for almost 14 years. We've been here for almost 9 of them. We have a 3-year-old little boy, and we are so thankful for him. And just if you haven't heard me talk for longer than 30 seconds, then you will. I have a stutter. It's not a big stutter. It's not a little stutter. The way we say it around here is that if I say a word 10 times, it's because God wanted you to hear it 10 times, okay? And so I've got a half hour, 15-minute sermon prepared. It's going to take me about a half hour to get through it. So we need to go ahead and jump in. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Our main verse today is going to be 1 John 4:19, but we're going to look at 1 John 4:7 through 21. So go ahead and turn there, scroll there, whatever you got to do. I'm going to read 7 through 21 for us right now. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever has been born of God knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. That's the main point of today. That's the main theme of today. If you want to write something down, I would encourage you to memorize that. We love because he first loved us. Now, I want a show of hands. How many of you know that that verse is written on the wall in our lobby? How many of you? Five of you. My best friend who goes here, who challenges me, looks me in the eyes, knee to knee, asks me hard things about life. I was telling him what I was going to preach on, and he's like, I never noticed that in lobby. And he's been here for 5 years. And so chances are, you didn't know either, which is why I wanted to ask. It's also why I wanted to preach on this verse. It's the only verse we have written on the walls in our lobby. It's the only verse you see if all you do is come in and come in through the lobby and come into the auditorium. We love because he first loved us. Now, when you think about that verse, you may be tempted to think about all the things that you have to do to get God to love you. All the things that you're supposed to do, or all the things that you're not supposed to do. But I want to tell you, that's not true. That's not what I want you to see when you look at that verse, which is right out this door on the wall facing kids. I want you to see not all that you have to do, but all that has been done by God. I want you to see not a list of things that you have to do or things you should do, but all that has been done for you and is offered to you by God. That verse can seem like it's aspirational, and it can seem like it's something that can't be lived out. But what I hope to do today is to help that verse move from aspirational to actual. I want to help you know how to live that verse out in your life. When we think about love, of course, we think about relationships, right? And it's love is all around us. It's in music, it's in song, it's in books. It's, you know, when I think about love, contrary to my boots and jeans, my favorite genre of music of all time is classic soul and R&B. And so when I think about love, I think about Al Green when he said, "I am so in love with you, whatever you want to do is all right with me, 'cause you make me feel so brand new." Right, come on now. "And I wanna spend my life with you." Let's jump to the chorus right here, ready? "Oh baby, let's stay together." Oh, here we go. "Loving you whether, come on, times are or sad." Ooh, man. Come on now. That'll hit you. And look, for those of you that are like, "I can't believe he just sang that song up there," Al Green's a pastor, so deal with him, all right? But I could have gone to Temps. I could have gone Sam Cooke. I could have gone "A White Light Through Yonder Window Breaks. It is the east and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon." I could have gone through poetry. I could have talked about books. I could have said all those things, because love is something that we desire. Love is something that we want, and we want to be loved. We do. We desperately want to be loved. And if we look at our lives, that's really what we're aimed at through anything that we do. And so 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." You know, whenever I get into counseling with many of you, which I love to do that, as your pastor, I love to meet with you. I love to talk with you. I love to especially walk with you through marriage counseling or relationship counseling, whatever's going on. And whenever I do, you know what I find out? No matter what, no matter the surface issues that you have, really the heart issue is what's known as family of origin. And it's, you learn to love by the environment that you grew up in. The environment that you grew up in has taught you how to love. And in fact, there's a theory called attachment theory. Now, I'm not a psychologist, I am not, but I called a few of you who are this week just to make sure that I'm correct about this. And attachment theory is just how you learn to love and to be loved. Each and every one of us have made attachments in our life. In fact, there's a statistic psychologists use that 50% of adults have poor attachments in their lives. The other 50% are attached to imperfect people and imperfect things. And so when we look at the attachments that we have in our lives, they were never meant to fulfill us. You were never created for someone or for something in this world. In fact, the primary attachment in your life you were created for is God. You were created by God, for God, to be in a relationship, a loving relationship with God. And so I know that many of you talking about family of origin or talking about attachment theory might bring up some things. And one of my fears is that it may bring up some things and all you hear from me is, "Hey, I know you had it rough," or "I know you have hard attachments," or "I know your childhood was hard and you went through some trauma and you went through some pain, but all you need to do is love God and you'll be fine." That is not what I am saying. What I'm saying is, I know that you went through some hard things, because no one and nothing in this world were meant to love you the way God has. And I'm sorry that those things happen, and I wanna walk with you in that. I would love to connect you with some godly counselors that I know and love and trust. My wife and I go to marriage counseling every other month. It is nothing to be ashamed of. It helps me love her greater than anything in this world. In fact, I had a pastor tell me once that every parent needs 2 savings accounts for their kids. One for college and one for counseling, because you're gonna jack them up in some way, no matter what you do. And so if you are here today and you hear me say these things and that brings up past hurt and past pain, I want you to know that I love you, that God loves you, and I wanna walk with you through that, because he died for you and can and will redeem that. And so the attachment in our life that we are created for is not anyone in this world, but it is the creator of this world. And it's a beautiful thing. That's why we see in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. He first loved you. Our love is a reaction. It's a response. It is secondary. The primary action in this world is God loving you. Now, I know when you hear that, some emotions and some objections might come up in you. So let's talk about those, because my first action step for you today is to be loved. The title of my sermon is Be Loved and Be Love. First one, be loved. Be loved by God. Be loved by God. That's the first thing I want you to do today when we read 1 John 4:19. It's because he loved you. Now, whenever I talk to you about being loved by God, you might have some reservations to that because you've experienced what we know is love in this world. Being loved by someone is scary. It's hard. It's hard because to trust someone with your heart and your affections and your emotions is scary because your heart now lives outside your chest. And you are trusting them something where they could hurt you. And many of us in here have been hurt. You know what? It's tough to be loved by God because people have hurt us before. My wife, whenever I first met her, I was like, that's it. She's mine. I'm hers. Let's roll. We're going to get married. That's not what I said, but it's kind of what I said. First time I ever held her hand, I cut off circulation to it. That's a true story because I held it so tightly. She, understandably so, was like, you're coming on too strong. And she wouldn't return my calls for the first few months, wouldn't call me back when she said she would, wouldn't be where she said she was going to be. She told me it's because she had been hurt in the past. What it really was is she thought she had better options. She did not. And so here I am and here we are. 15 years later, I won. And so in that, she had been hurt. She had been hurt. Others had hurt her. And so for me to say all these things to her, she was scared of them because she was scared to get hurt again. All of us in here have been hurt. We've had people abandon us. We've had people say they're going to be somewhere and they don't come there. We've had people say they're going to do things and they don't do them. We've had people say that they're going to love us and then they hurt us. We've had people say, I'm going to be with you for forever. You can depend on me. And then they walk right out the door and right out of our lives. And so when I up here tell you, you are loved, you can have a natural and justified objection to it because you've been hurt before. You have gone through pain before. There are others of us that we really want to reject the love of God because, let's be honest, we don't like to need people. We don't like to need God. We don't want to owe anyone anything. We don't want to have a need for anyone because people have hurt us, so we're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We're going to be a self-made man, a self-made woman. We're going to do things our way. We're going to survive. We're going to be all we need within ourselves because we don't want to depend on anyone else. Maybe for past pain or maybe for pride. Maybe it's hard for you to hear that God loves you because, man, you love you. And if God loves you, that means you need something. And if you need something, that means you're less. Or it means that the success that you have in this world doesn't define you. The success actually doesn't make you who you are. And all the success in the world can't change your spiritual state. I was sharing the gospel with somebody one time, and this person, I was telling him about the love of Christ and all that Jesus had done for him. And he said, John, that's great. I'm glad you have that and others do too, but I just haven't hit rock bottom. I just don't need God. See, all the success had blinded him. Through meeting all the physical needs, he couldn't see that his soul had already hit rock bottom because of sin and that Jesus had to hit rock bottom for him to redeem him from that sin. See, it's like this. If you forgot your wallet today or your Apple Pay or however else we pay today, you forgot that today, but you were going out to lunch and we were going to lunch together and you pulled the, oh, I forgot my wallet. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll buy you lunch. I will buy you lunch, your family lunch. Some of you would add guacamole in that moment and you know who you are, all right? and you're wrong for it. But if I were to buy you lunch because you forgot your wallet or could not pay, what would you say? John, thank you. John, thank you. You may think about it that week, but you're really not gonna think about you owe me whatever lunch cost. Now, if I were to meet with you today, this week, and I would say, hey, all the debt that you have in this world, house payment, loan payment, car payment, insurance payment, water bill, light bill, cable bill, whatever debt you have, medical bills, I'm gonna pay for it. I'm gonna pay for all of it. And not only am I gonna pay for all of your debt and you're gonna be debt free, but I'm gonna give you access to my checking account now that you can withdraw on anytime you need something. What would all of you say to that? Amen. Praise God. Let's go. Where do I sign, right? See, the thing about it is, you would probably tell people about me the next week. In fact, you may even name your first child, boy or girl, John, because of all that I've done for you, right? You would do that. Why? Because your view of your need changed. Your view of the debt that you owed changed. See, if you just owe me lunch, well, that's not a big deal. But if I took away all the debt that you have, past, present, future, that changes you. And that changes how you live, and it changes how you see me. This is the same way we see God. Sometimes it's hard to be loved by God because all we think God did was pay for our lunch. All we think God did was just pick up the tab when we forgot our wallet. When in fact, what God did was pay a debt that you were supposed to pay. He paid the debt instead of you, for you. See, we have a beautiful, holy, good, just, righteous God that we serve, a loving Father that we serve. And what you and I do, we look at him and say, you're not enough for me. You're a liar. You are not who you say you are, and I need something more than you. So I'm gonna put this thing or this person as God in my life, and I'm not gonna obey your commands because they're not good for me. I'm gonna disobey them, and I'm gonna do whatever I think is best. And living our life that way, what we have done is what we call sin. Sin is disobedience to God. And it's not a scale of sin. It's not, well, if you do a little sin, then it costs this, but if you do a lot of sin, it costs this. It's not a scale. It is a yes or no, guilty or not. And we are all guilty. We are all guilty before a holy God because we have all chosen to serve and to do things that disobey him. And when we disobey God, the penalty for sin is death, your death. See, for God to be a holy God, that means he has to punish sin. And so because there's a disobedience to God, that means that there has to be a consequence to pay for that. And that payment is death. And what I love about this is God is not only the one who created this agreement, he's also the one that fulfilled it. He saw you dead in your sins with a debt that you could never pay, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he said, I know you completely. I know you completely. I know that you're a sinner. I know that you cry out for me. I know that you long for my love. I know that you were created to be attached to me. So I'm gonna do what you can't do, and I'm gonna go and live the perfect life that you were supposed to live. And I'm gonna refuse sin, and I am going to be holy, and then I'm gonna die the death that your sin deserves, so that through me and through my sacrifice, you can have eternal life with me, which is what you were created for, which is what you broke and you chose against when you sinned. I am gonna restore you. And I want you to hear that today because some of you are here today thinking your sin is too great. It's hard to be loved by God, by you, because you feel like if God only knew my sin, he wouldn't love me. I've done this again. I've hurt someone again. If God only knew my sin, God can die for people with small sins, but not for my big sins. Let me tell you this, if he didn't die for your big sins, he wouldn't be God. And because he is God, his blood was shed on Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, on the cross for you and for your sin. Your debt has been paid. Your debt of sin and the weight of sin has been taken off of you. And right now, no matter whatever sin you walked in here with, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you walk out a free woman or man from the penalty of that sin. You walk out with that debt being paid. This isn't just paying for somebody's lunch. This is paying for your life. And see, it's hard to be loved by God because we feel like we try to minimize our sin because we want to minimize God, or we feel like our sin is too great, and it's too great for God. I want you to know your sin is greater than you could ever imagine, and God's love for you is greater than you could ever imagine when he took the penalty for your sin. So in 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. That's his love. He loved you, not because of anything you had done. In fact, let's read back in 1 John. 1 John 10:4-10. In this is love, not that we have loved God. Get that. There's nothing good in you. There's nothing good about you. In this is love, not that we have loved God. You didn't choose God. You didn't all of a sudden one day go, you know what? I'm a sinner. I need a savior. It's God loving you and showing you that and drawing you to himself. And this is love, not that we love God, and that should give you freedom. If you think you can work your way into a relationship with God, you can't. You can't. Only Jesus can, and only Jesus did. And so if you think today there are a list of things that you've got to do, that's a lie. Because everything you've got to do has already been done through Jesus Christ. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us first. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation just means atonement. It means our debt has been paid. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. We didn't make ourselves right for him. We didn't clean up for him. He came to us in our mess and in our sin and saved us. There is no sin greater than the love of God. Any sin that you walked in here with, no matter if it's the first time or the millionth time you've done it, God has forgiven you. And this is love. Your debt has been paid. And this is love, that God chose to love us. And the beautiful thing about that is when we see that God loved us, oh man, that love pours out of us. Second thing I want you to do today is be love like God. Be loved by God. Be love like God. You know, when you think about the sun is light. It can't be anything but light. That's what it is. That's what it was created to be. A fire is hot. There's no such thing as a cool fire. A fire is hot. God is love. Like the sun is light, a fire is hot, God is love. He can't be anything but love. And Christians are supposed to be love. Christians who are supposed to love like God are supposed to be love like God. And that's the beautiful thing is when we are changed by the love of God, we can't help but love like God loves us. How many of you have been loved in just a beautiful, amazing way that it just changes you? Changes you. You know, our small groups director, Jeffrey Thompson, last week or beginning of June, he went on vacation with his wife and his mother-in-law, which is a bold strategy, in my opinion. And that's, you don't know which way that ship's gonna go, right? But I've met Tori, his wife. She's lovely, so I'm sure his mother-in-law is as well. And so Gio went with them to Dollywood. And yeah, that shocked me too, right? I'm like, Dollywood? And so Gio comes in my office just kind of bebopping, right? On Tuesday, whenever he gets back in town, he's like, John, how are you? I'm like, how are you? And he's like, man, I'm great. I'm like, tell me why you're great. He's like, man, we just got back from vacation. I was like, oh, did you go to the beach, mountains, or see some family or whatever? He's like, nah, man, we went to Dollywood. I was like, tell me more about this. Come on in, Gio, sit down. And so he begins to tell me in his words, he's like, this is the most incredible place on earth. And I'm like, okay. And he said, did you know that Dollywood has the second highest vocal ensemble performance rating of any theme park in America? I'm like, no. And why do you know that, right? Like, why would you care to know that? And he's like, man, the place was so clean. The food was so great. The rides were so safe. It was awesome, man. We just walked everywhere. It was beautiful there. We had a great time. I was like, oh, man, well, did y'all get to enjoy the park? He goes, no, it rained for 3 days. I was like, then how did you have fun? He's like, man, wouldn't you know this? I mean, it's just like Dolly to do this. She saw, I was like, you know Dolly now? And he's like, don't interrupt me. And so he explained to me that they refunded him for all 3 days' passes. They gave him like a place to stay at some lodge or a treehouse that she has there. And then they also gave him food stuff and everything. They're going back in August. And he's like, John, I mean, isn't she just one of the most gracious people in the world? I'm like, I've never met her. Have you? Like, I don't know her. Gio, he's like, man, she is just so generous. I mean, it was obvious everywhere. Obviously, we all have a lot of questions, and Gio will be down front afterwards to answer every one. But what we need to see from that story is that Gio is going to buy a Dollywood t-shirt when he goes back, I'm sure. What we need to see is that the love and the generosity that he received, he was changed by it. That's now his favorite theme park. They're going to name their first daughter Dolly. I mean, and so he was changed by it. He was changed by that love. He was changed by everything they did for him. How many of you and I, when we realize the debt that God has been paid, or the debt that God has paid for us, how many of us, it just changes you? Like sun is light and fire is hot, we become love. When we see that love just pours out of us. But it's hard to be love like God. It is very hard. You know why? Because you were very hard. Because the only way we can be loved like God is if we love each other. And let me tell you, I'm not easy to love. I'm not easy to love. Ask my small group. I sent something on a text message the other day I had to apologize for. That's me. Like, I am hard to love. Some of my best friends I talk to 3 times a year. Like, that's just what I'm tough. I'm opinionated. I think I'm right. I really care about myself more than I care about you. And my flesh is huge. And so I'm hard to love. Relationships are hard. It's hard to be loved like God because it's hard to love each other. Because we are not lovable no matter what your mama told you. We are hard to love. And it's in that that we begin to see that attachment playing out. In those relationships, we see, are we attached to God or ourselves? You know, a great way to see if you have been loved by God is to look at your relationships. Do you love like God? Do you love others like God loves you? Because see, your vertical relationship with God is actually reflected in your horizontal relationships with each other. How you think God views you is exactly how you view others. So if you think God holds records of wrongs against you, then you're going to do that with others. If you think God requires perfection from you, then you're going to require perfection from others. If you think that you have earned something with God, then you were going to make people earn something with you. If you were going to be impatient with others, it's because you think God's been impatient with you. How you love others comes from how you think God loves you. And if we don't get the love of God right, we will never get the love of one another right. That's why we have to see the debt that we owe God has been paid. It's greater than any debt anyone could ever owe you. And so if anybody has reasons to not forgive, it's God. If anybody has reasons not to love, it's God. But guess what? He threw those out the window and sent his son and died for you. And so in relationships, we play out the love of God. And you know this. This is why you're not in relationships. This is why you come to this church, call Summit Church your home, but you're not a small group. You're not in men's and women's ministry. Your kids are not involved in our kids' ministry. You're not in student ministry. You keep everybody at arm's distance. It's why you haven't joined the church, because you don't want anybody speaking into your life. In the same way, you really don't want God being Lord of your life. And see, when you don't want relationships here, is because you really don't want relationship here. And so when you look at your relationships with one another, do you love like God loves you? Look at it. Just do a yearly exam and say, how do I love others? Do I love others with the love of God? Do I forgive easily? Do I repent quickly? Do I keep a record of wrongs? How do I love others? Because chances are it's the exact same way you feel like God loves you. Now, I am also, Capitol Hills, very, 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 very thankful for you. My goodness, you are a loving people. You are a benevolent people. Like I said, we had 250 volunteers at VBS last week, and my wife has never slept so much when she came home from watching kids. I know you all were tired, but you gave of your time to be there. We love, man, I could stand here with stories all day about you and how you love each other. I've heard of meal trains and everything else and carpools and cutting people's grass and changing oil and doing everything, but I just want to tell you one story. There was 2 years ago in June, father of three got diagnosed with glioblastoma. He was 41, 42 at the time. He passed away last June and has been gone from us a year now. In that, when he got diagnosed 2 years ago, I met with him. He's like, John, what do I do? What do I say? And I had no answers. I was just praying and praying for him and for his family. Well, his in-laws also attend here, and they're in a small group. And so the small group that he and his wife and kids were in, and the small group that his in-laws were in, the way they loved this family changed me. They were there morning, noon, and night, paying to clean the house, helping them with their job, helping them with work, helping them with carpool, setting up meal trains, paying for their vacations, helping them go on vacations with them, spending time with them, showing up, taking their kids so they could have a date night, making sure the oil is changed in the car, making sure homework is done, making sure life is going on, making sure that they're getting doctor's appointments and everything. And that cost these two small groups, gas, time, food, and everything. But you know what? You small groups paid for that because of the payment God has given to you. And you did it not wanting anything in return, but just wanting to love them as God has loved you. And that is the most amazing thing in the world to me. I have watched you, Summit Church, Capitol Hills. I've seen you changed by the love of God. I've seen you love in incredible ways. If you're in a small group here, chances are I don't hear about your needs first because they're already being met. I hear about things all the time, small groups, that they are doing and caring for folks, and they just want me to know so I can be praying. They've already been to the hospitals. They've already been into the homes. They've already shown up. They've already made plans and done everything. See, we love because we have been loved. We love because He first loved us. It's an overflow. An empty cup can't pour anything out. But when we have been filled with the love of God, changed with the love of God, knowing that our debt has been paid, then guess what? There is no debt that anyone owes you that can never be paid. The debt doesn't dictate the love. The debt just displays it. God loves you so much. And I love here that in this, you see that it was called in verse 7, it says, beloved, love one another. Let us love one another. You know who he's talking to here? Not the world, the church. Boy, the church is really good at keeping records of wrongs. We are really good at getting upset at each other about things that don't matter. It says, beloved, let's love one another. You know why? Go to John 13, 34 through 35. It's going to be on the screen, but I want you to turn there. John 13, 34 through 35. Jesus says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, verse 35, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. See, when we love with the love that we have been loved by, the world takes notice. They look at us and go, how can they forgive like that? How can they repent like that? How can they provide like that? How can they protect like that? How can they do the things that they are doing that doesn't make sense? Because see, a love of this world doesn't cost this world anything, but a love of God cost him everything in sending his son, Jesus Christ, and our love for each other should cost us everything. Everything that we own, everything that we have is not meant to serve us, but to display the love of God to each other. And it's beautiful because the world takes notice. You are my disciples by the way you love one another. The world will see that. No matter what's going on out there, what's happening in the political realm or in this world, this verse does not change. We don't have to change anything we do if we love one another. The greatest hope that has ever been known, the love of God will be seen by the world. And so I want you to think today, have I been loved by God? Have I been loved by him? Have I trusted him? Have I given my life to him? And then I want you to ask God today, God, where do you want me to be loved like you? Where do you want me to be loved like you? Have you been loved by God? And where does God want you to love like him? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Let that be on our lips. Thank you for your love. Thank you. Thank you for loving us in our sin. Thank you for loving us to die. Thank you for being the atonement, the propitiation for our sins. And this is love. Not that we loved you, but that you loved us. We love, Lord, because you first loved us. Let that not be aspirational of this church or of our homes and our hearts, but let it be actual. Let it be lived out. And Lord, put a spotlight on us so the world can see. Not for us, but for you. Please, let our love be a lighthouse and a beacon to this world, saying the attachment and the hope and the love that they desire is found here and is found in you. God, we love you. Thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Amen.